Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Here, Vaughn. You know what they say? Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble. Give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on! Always look on the right side of life.
Sitting aside our chia pet in my living room overlooking the empty streets of San Francisco, I'm Schmitty, and this is Talkin' Schmidt. Today on the show is Una Farrar. Una grew up on Victoria Island in Vancouver, Canada. She's an excellent skier, has abnormal fingerboarding skills, and recently has been traveling the world, filming for an all-girls skateboard video that will be put out by Vans. She's participated in the annual Skate Witch Wheels of Fortune several times and met some of her best friends there. It's always a great time filled with hijinks. Some things you just never forget.
Oh, I think one of them was like you take a tampon and like dip it in beet juice so it looks like it's like used, and then you have to go into a public space and like eat it or like suck on it, and like everyone around you is like, oh my god, and then you have to film people's reaction of like how gnarly it looks because it's actually disgusting. Like, it's that's like horrid. And so yeah, that's like probably one of the gnarliest things that I remember.
Well, hello everybody, and to you new chunk of listeners, hi, this is a podcast. See, since the coronavirus hit, a lot of people who are locked in quarantine mode have stumbled upon us, and I just want to give a warm hello and hope you enjoy and think about something other than what is happening outside. Also, a huge shout out to my 209 listeners. Stockton, what's up? Even with all that's going on, it hasn't stopped your local skate shop out there, Kingpin Skate Shop, from picking up a full line of Talkin' Schmidt merch. Gotta have that nasty neck out in the 209. Thanks for the fire. Also, big love to Mortal Skate Shop in Tucson, who loaded up right before the shutdown. Aaron Susky, your shop now has the Schmidt. Continuing our Route 66 trail across the Southwest, you will notice Talkin' Schmidt in Filter Skate Shop in New Mexico, with the most honeybee air fresheners any shop has purchased so far. They also carry our shirts and hats as well. Then all the way out east in the city of New Bedford, it looks like Jay at Solstice Skate Shop just got his first box from us with hats, shirts, and some other merchandise. Thank you so much to all you shops and everyone that has supported the show. It's never underappreciated. I want to throw this out there. The first person to buy something from one of those shops and document it will win a free 5-panel hat and a beer helmet DVD. Make sure to take a photo, tag us, the shop that you bought it at, so that we can verify. I don't know about you guys, but personally, I've been watching a lot of TV lately, feeling like the boy in the bubble. Recently, we finished McMillions, The Outsider, the new season of the Peaky Fucking Blinders. halfway through The New Curb, and holy fuck am I amazed at the Netflix documentary series called Tiger King. It's kind of like Joe Dirt comes to real life and merges with Siegfried and Roy. Needless to say, my creative juices of me bouncing off the walls, and for some reason I just keep drinking more and more coffee. If all goes as planned, which under the current circumstances may be a lot to ask, I'm hoping to have a big announcement next week about something me and a few bros are doing to try and help out with the current pandemic. Other than that, a lot of indoor time, a lot of hand washing, and a lot of staring at monitors. I don't really know how I'm going to interview my next guest, or who it is for that matter. But for now, let me pass the mic over to this week's guest.
Hey, this is Una Farrar, and you're listening to Talkin' Schmidt.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Here we go again.
Just give it the old cause turn.
All big dogs in.
Schmitty.
96 times, Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
We on? Schmitty.
Talkin' Schmidt.
That's called going to the hospital, bitch.
I be shit my pants.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
I don't give a fuck about your fucking multi-million-dollar numbers.
Who is this guy? He thinks he's tough shit.
What's up?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yeah!
Okay, it's March 14th, 2020, another episode of Talkin' Schmidt, but not just another episode. Today is episode 65, and we have a fabulous guest all the way from Canada. Tell him what your name is.
Hi, I'm Una Farrar, or Tubbsy, you can call me either.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, staying away from this whatever virus everybody thinks they have.
Yes, true. Same. I feel pretty good, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you doing in the Bay Area?
We're here filming for a Vans video. It was the last kind of trip to try to wrap things up.
Oh, is it the deadline?
Yeah, we're approaching the deadline. It's supposed to come out in April, I think. It's like Shari's filming it. It's like me, Brianna, Fabi, bunch of other girls, too. And it's like really cool gang, so I'm pretty excited for when it comes out.
Nice. How are you feeling about, you got clips?
I got some footage, yeah.
Yeah?
I got some. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever be, like, fully satisfied, but I'm pretty stoked on what I have. There's a few things that I still want to, like, maybe try.
Well, it keeps pushing you for the future.
Yeah, always.
Rad. Let's start with the beginning. You were born and raised in Canada, or no?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm from a place called Victoria on Vancouver Island.
Okay.
It's actually the capital of British Columbia. So like on the west coast, yeah. Uh-huh. You've been to Victoria?
Yeah.
Nice. What'd you think?
I liked it. It was my graduation trip for high school. We went in 88.
Really?
Way before you were born.
Sweet. Yeah. I mean, it's really beautiful. I was really fortunate to grow up there. Mm. And I moved to Vancouver about 7 months ago now.
Oh.
So I've been living there. I actually live with like Shari and Norma and Romy and like a group of skaters. So it's really cool. But yeah, I was born and raised on the island there.
What was it like? What were the disadvantages of living on the island? Did you ever feel like island fever or like secluded from certain things? There's grocery stores. Everything's available there, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could technically get everything you need. And like, I definitely felt with skateboarding, it was a small but like tight-knit scene. So there was some disadvantages where like if you wanted to kind of like move forward with skateboarding as a career, most of the people would move to Vancouver or move to LA or whatnot, at least the mainland. I don't know, there was advantages too where it was like, as I said, like a tight-knit community, and there's like a lot of good skaters there.
Hmm.
But I definitely found that like starting off like with little comps and like a community that was supportive was like really good. But once I got to a point where I was like traveling more, or like there's basically the way off the island and not as like a ferry boat. Like, you can fly it, but, like, everyone ferries, and like for some reason the ferries aren't working, like, you can't, like, leave. So I like the feeling now of living on the mainland. It's so much more accessible for, like,
yeah,
travel and stuff. It's, like, bigger city, more going on. It's okay. a little slow sometimes in Victoria, which is nice for, like, my parents and, like, to go visit and stuff, but for living and skating, Vancouver's, like, sick.
So you still got the family there to get, like, a little getaway and kind of get a breath of fresh air or whatever, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did you discover skateboarding? Like, what brought you into skateboarding?
Well, it was basically like my friends who I was hanging out with. Like, I had an older brother. He's 3 years older than me, and he influences like a lot, influenced and influences a lot of what I do, like past and current, because we're pretty close, good friends. So he skated, and I was always stoked on whatever he was doing. So in the back of my head, I was like, skateboarding's cool, but I didn't really try it when he did it. And then I had a group of friends in middle school, like basically one close friend that lived down the street, and we'd hang out all the time. And then he picked up skating, and that's all he ever did. And so I was like, it's kind of boring to hang out with you when like all you're doing is skating. So like I just tried it and then ended up getting like hooked on it. And I went and found my brother's old board from like 3 years ago and then did that. And then my parents got me.
What age were you right there around?
That was like probably 10 or 11.
Oh.
Because I would get like, I got like into skating at like 11 and 12. But that was like the first like middle school, I think, or like late elementary school.
Do you remember what the first board was?
So, like, there's a place called Canadian Tire in Canada that's, like, the equivalent of, like, Walmart.
Okay.
So, I had one of those when I first tried, like, an ollie. But then when I got into it, I was, like, telling my parents that I wanted a real board, like, a proper one. They, like, took it literally and got me, like, an Ernie Torres, like, real board.
Oh, shit.
For Christmas. Yeah. Rad. And then there's this photo of me, like, holding it up. I'm, like, it's just this, like, it's, like, a real board. Uh-huh. So, it's, like, kind of sick. I mean, it worked out. It's a great board. I just, like, went down to the basement that day, like, Christmas Day, just kickflips in the basement, like, back-to-back all day.
Rad. Mm-hmm. Fun fact here is that Canada is the second largest demographic that listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
We're at 5% up in Canada.
Sweet.
So we'll give
coverage.
Them a little...
Oh, Canada, our home and native land. True patriot love in all thy sons command.
Yeah, shout out.
Shout out.
Let's get that number up to double digits. Let's tell some friends up there, eh?
I'd love to. Yeah. It'd be cool.
Okay. Who are your roommates again?
I live with Shari White, Norma Ibarra, Romy Haynes, and then Graham. So, like, Norma and Shari have been really involved in this video.
Uh-huh.
So Norma's a photographer and Shari's a filmer. My friend Romy's a skateboarder too. So we all skate together, but it's been really productive living in that household because they're just like stoked people who are down to do whatever. And they're also like coincidentally working on the same project as me. So it's like, and there's like my, before all this with the projects and all that, we were doing this anyways.
Yeah.
Like we were all like good friends. So like we were out filming for whatever Shari was filming for, and Norma was taking photos or whatever, like, it was already happening, and we just made it into a video, so.
That's rad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're working on a video project, where better to live than with the filmer?
Yeah. And, yeah. Those gals. Especially if the filmer is, like, a chiller. Like,
yeah. And then let's talk about the social media thing. How did Little Tubbsy, how did you get this name?
Well, the name, that, like, comes back to my brother and his friends. I needed an email from my MSN account. Like, I don't know, message like no one, and I didn't have any friends about it, but they had it, like my older brother. So they came up with a Hotmail email that was Little Tubbsy because it was like they're making fun of me for being like small and like chubby because I was like 7 at the time. Like, I was so young, I don't even know why I had it. But then I never really liked many like nicknames associated with my real name, so that one kind of just stuck. I kept the same email.
Uh-huh.
So when Instagram came around, I was like, I don't have like a nickname that people would call me really, so I was like, oh, I'll just do the Little Tubbsy, and then that stuck.
Were you named after Una Merkel?
No, I don't think so. I know my parents had like a like family friends who had like were considering it for like a dog name, I think. And then they were like, oh, that's a really nice name.
Oh, okay.
We want to use it, but it's also Irish, so it has some like heritage there. I have some like relatives from Ireland, so it was cool.
I talked to Brianna, and she said, to make sure that I ask you about the card game Uno, probably you've never heard anybody refer to that.
Yeah, that's like often what people they like bring up as soon as I'm like, hey, my name's Uno. They're like, oh, like the card game. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. And then playing, it's like a whole nother thing. And there's people yelling out your name and yelling, it's like, oh, I'm so over it at this point. But it's not the worst, so.
What's Pansy time?
So Pansy kind of started off with like, so Michelle Pazell from Any Social,
uh-huh.
And Charlie, she's like working at Supreme now, but she was living in Vancouver and hanging out with the Any Social group. and Brianna kind of came up with this like little, it was kind of just like a platform for like our videos, or I should say there, because it was like their thing first, their art videos, like photos, whatever. And then when I started going down to LA, Charlie was living in LA, and then we all kind of started doing this together, because like we didn't really fit in anywhere with like our videos weren't super heavy, or like our art wasn't like, I don't know, blowing people's minds or anything. We're just kind of messing around, like having fun. So we just made our own little like kind of platform for it. And now I just like put a lot of videos out under that name, but then it's just kind of like our little group, I guess. Like it's not really a group because it's not exclusive, but it's like kind of our art, our videos. And yeah, there's been like 4 Pansy home videos, or 3, and we're working on the 4th. It started off with like we'd film for a video, and then you know all that extra stuff that's like not the land?
Yeah.
That's what like the Pansy videos was.
Okay.
So it was like kind of like our messing around.
We call it like the rough cuts.
Yeah, like not even just rough cuts though, because it wasn't like just the trick battles. It was like from like when you woke up to when you went to bed, just all like the dumb stuff that you did.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, we went and like saw this like dog at this weird park, like that's in it. Or like some like weird animation that Charlie made, or like some flowers, Brianna like eating shit or something. Like that's right. Mainly what it was. So that's when it became like home videos. It was like our daily lives, more than hard skateboarding tricks. But we have like a vision to try to make like a full length or something, like actual skating.
Do you live pretty close to Brianna?
Yeah, we're like, I'm like a 5-minute bike down the road from her, and she lives like around Michelle too. So like we're all very, like it's a really good community in Vancouver. So we're all just like right there doing stuff. And as I said, like antisocial is like a hub for all of it.
Okay.
So like.
Do you hit any of the parks?
In Vancouver?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Plaza is like a go to when we're home.
Do you hit any of the old ones, like North Van or any of those older like snake runs and
yeah, I mean there's like Hastings and stuff,
right?
Hastings. So like people will be, I have a few friends who are like really good at skating transition, and we'll just like go and watch those dudes. And like there's a little like women and men that are good at skating, but there's like a little street section, we'll skate like the curb while they're doing like crazy stuff. Or like there's Lee Side, which has a lot of history to it.
Oh yeah.
So that's like cool to just go hang out. Like even there, there's like the whole DIY section, but then it's like connected to the P&E and like this like artificial turf. So there's like street spots right there that they have made around the stadium.
Okay.
So like you can go and skate there, like transition or like the street spot. And like probably Plaza's like the go-to though.
Have you ever seen Sluggo do the backflip live?
I don't think so. I've seen him do some really cool airs, because I have, like, he's at all the, like, I don't know if there's, like, a little event or, like, RDS thing that's going on, or he's around because Brianna used to, like, work at Center and ride for RDS and stuff, so, like, we'd just be in there. Even now, like, she has friends that work at Center, so we can, like, that's the distribution. We could go and skate in there on the rainy days on the weekend, and, like, Sluggo and those guys are always, Rob, like, they're just around. But I've never seen it in real life, I don't. Unless he did it at that Hastings, did he do it at the most recent Vans?
Vans Park Series.
I must have seen it. Yeah, saw it then. Yeah, that was epic.
Yeah.
Everyone was in town, and I was just like, oh. Okay, yeah, scratch that. I have seen it.
Yeah, I love going to Vancouver once I'm in there, but the airport can be tough on Americans sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
Like, customs is, like, sometimes about. They used to have that reality show up there that was, like, busted at the border or whatever. It's called Border Wars or some shit. And you get off the plane and there's like the signs that are like, you're being filmed for a reality show. It's like, what the fuck? I don't even have a choice. Like,
yeah, I didn't even know that.
I don't know if it's still going on, but that was like 5 years ago. When I went to one of the earlier Vancouver Park Series, a lot of like the rocker dudes got sent to secondary and strip search and stuff. It was like Grayson and Gurney and all those dudes. But
yeah,
I love it up there. It's beautiful. Let's talk about the Skate Witches. You've been doing that Wheels of Fortune contest before, yeah?
Yeah, I actually, like, Wheels of Fortune was the first place that I met, like, Brianna and Fabi and all those people. So, like, Skate Witches is, like, owned by Kristen Ebling and Shari White. So, like, Shari's really heavily involved in it, and I filmed for some of their videos with Shari. But, yeah, the contest, Wheels of Fortune, just, like, brings together, like, women, like basically just non-traditional skaters. There's like a lot of like trans and like non-binary stuff there too. But I remember, yeah, so like you go there and there's like the contest, but it's basically like a 3-day event.
Right.
So the first day they had like it's like the witch hunt, so it's like the queen of the road kind of thing. You like make a team and you go and do challenges. And I was put in a van, or I just ended up in a van with Brianna, Fabi, and it was like a couple other people that we're still really close with now, like we're good friends with, but we've just gone like totally opposite ways. Like it's so interesting to see. But yeah, we just went around, and that was like my first introduction to them, was like this crazy skating contest. So it was pretty cool, actually. It was like a lot of memories, and then we've gone every year since.
That's in Seattle, right?
Yeah, it's in Seattle.
And why is it in Seattle? Are the people who created it, they live in Seattle, or?
Yeah, well, I think Kristen has like really, like she works with the city of Seattle a lot.
Okay.
Doing stuff for like the skateboard community. Uh-huh. So she has a good connections with like the All Together skate park, like the indoor where it's hosted. So they have venues, the other outdoor skate parks where they host like some of the little like weekend events. So I think they host it there because it's also in America. So it's like easier for Americans to get to, and it's not that hard for us to get to. Like it's pretty central.
Okay. How many have you been to?
I don't know exactly, but at least like 4.
Have you seen it grow a lot from the beginning till the most recent?
Oh yeah.
What's that been like?
Yeah, it's like the numbers almost double, like all the time. It's crazy. It's just like, it's funny because the skate park stays the same too that they hosted at, and it's just like, oh, each year it's like more hectic and there's bigger groups. But it's cool because then you just meet more people. So many people are like, oh, I met someone at Wheels of Fortune and now I'm going to stay with them in wherever. Like you just, you make those like connections.
Right. What's like the craziest thing that's gone down there, like on or off the board? Like what are some crazy moments?
That's hard. There's a lot of crazy moments because like each year there's like a video recap. So each team has like a video of all the challenges that they do.
Is it like King of the Road where you have to like eat the gnarliest shit or like whatever? Like
it's definitely a little more like PG than King of the Road because it's like all ages kind of. But there's some like funny like gnarly stuff. Like there's skate challenges like hit this handrail or like get two people to ollie down this 10 stair at the same time, like not easy stuff. But then there's also gnarly ones that are like, oh, I think one of them was like you take a tampon and like dip it in beet juice so it looks like it's like used, and then you have to go into a public space and like eat it or like suck on it, and like everyone around you is like, oh my god. And you have to film people's reaction of like how gnarly it looks because it's actually disgusting. Like that's like horrid. And so yeah, that's like probably one of the gnarliest things that I remember. One of the challenges was to like, they don't use like swearing terms, but they said like frick the patriarchy, like instead of like fuck the patriarchy. And there's this one team that just did like a bunch of challenges with this huge blow up dick. Like it's like a team of girls just like with this big blow up dick, and then they're just like skating on it and stuff. And it's like, what's going on?
Wow.
So, but then like most of it's super like positive and like funny and stuff like that. So, but it's just like hilarious. Like you have people like, I don't know, like Sarah Merle or Merle. She's Swedish. She skates for Nike.
Uh-huh.
Super cool, like very collected, calm. And then she's like, one of the challenges is like do a shotgun while trying a manual. And she like does it like first try and you're like, what? Like I didn't expect that. So it's pretty cool. It shows people like a different side. I also got like an opportunity to go on a panel there this year. Yeah, it was called like Coffee and Conversations, but it was me, Leo Baker, Vanessa Torres, and Jamie Reyes.
Wow.
Which is like an insane lineup. Yeah, and then just like a room of like 100 people or something, and then we were just like asked questions by Kristen, so it was like one of our friends, about growing up and skating and the industry and stuff. So they do cool stuff like that as well as the contest and everything.
Do you get nervous at all, like in those type of situations where you're with like these people that you look up to, or how does that feel to be in that kind of a group of people?
Yeah, it's definitely nerve-wracking. Like those are legends. Like those are people. Like Vanessa Torres was the first video part that I saw. A young girl, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is like,
which
girls
one her
elementality uh-huh. one, yeah. So okay. I like memorized that, and then just like being able to hang out with her. But I skated for Meow Skateboards at one point, which is Lisa Whitaker's company. So Leo was on them, Vanessa is on them. Like it was a team of like pretty legendary people, and I got to hang out with them like fairly often in LA, like with Charlie and the whole Pansy group. We were all pretty close, or at least mutual friends or like whatnot. So I actually got to hang out with them a decent amount before things like that panel came up. So I felt pretty comfortable like hanging around like Leo and Vanessa. And I hadn't met Jamie yet, so that was the first trip meeting Jamie. She's so sick. And now we're like good friends.
Rad.
She just got stories for days. A sense of humor that's just like great.
Yeah, she had a Thrasher cover.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Pretty legendary.
It was sick. She's had like a resurgence in coverage and popularity, which is awesome. People are like realizing how sick everything she was doing and is doing.
Yeah. Huh. Are you into contests?
Not particularly. Like, I like my friends' contests and like the fun ones.
But you don't enter like the street leagues or the Vans Park Series or any of the street contests or whatever?
No, I tried it for a bit, but the competitive route wasn't really for me. Okay. I liked the industry side of it. Like, for me, my dream in skating was go on trips and film parts and meet people and get photos and stuff like that. So I honestly gravitated towards skating because it wasn't like most organized sports. Uh-huh. So now that it's the competitive side is getting like organized sport, I was like, why would I, you know? So I tried it out. I went to like one street league, rolled my ankle. I was like, fuck, this sucks. You're like shuttling back and forth to the, like, you go to some really cool city and then you're on a bus from your hotel to the contest for 4 days straight.
Yeah.
Everyone's so nice, but like tired of seeing each other. You're at the park for like 10 hours a day and you're just like fried. And you're like, I want to go like explore the city. I've been really grateful to have opportunities like the one that we did with this video and like being able to kind of choose where we want to go and what we want to skate and who we want to skate with. Why would you want to do anything other than this? You
know? Right.
But I do have a lot of friends taking the competitive route and I have a lot of respect for it too. It's like really hard.
Do we want the coronavirus to take out the Olympics or?
I don't know. That would be insane, I think. I don't know how well they would handle that.
It's already feeling insane.
Yeah, it does. This has been like a super weird couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So we're even flying out earlier, flying out tomorrow, trying to get home safe, you know.
Mm.
We went into Whole Foods yesterday and people would just have like carts full of stuff.
You
like,
can't
just, like,
find a roll of toilet paper or any hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
It's like you can't find it. Any store. And then I heard Amazon like tripled the price. They're making money off this shit. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it's insane. And like everything's canceled. I hope that it doesn't last this long and we can like hear this podcast soon and be like, oh, remember that time like a month ago when literally everything was canceled? Like, so I still get all those chain emails for like the street leagues and stuff because I did do it mm-hmm. at one point. And like, I'm just getting those that are like, this event's canceled, that event's canceled. Vans has had to cancel like everything due to like safety concerns and stuff. NBA's on suspension, NHL. There's like bans for flying places. Like, it's crazy. They're just really stepping it up.
We'll see what's going to happen. I don't know. But I'd just like to say, as long as my guests are down, I'm going to keep running the show.
Yeah, respect.
You know? And I don't really want to do it over the phone. So we're going to have to, you know, even if we have to wear the mask in front of the mic or whatever we got to do, you know. You're not going to believe this, but it looks like the phone line just lit up here.
Hello, this is Fabi, first-time caller.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to ask Una how she stayed so positive and motivated after getting her on one of the first trips for this Vans video. Love you, Una. Big inspo.
Oh, Fabi. I was actually listening to her one this morning. I was like, I wonder what she said. That's so nice. Wow. Okay. Yeah, as Fabi was saying, I like blew my knee out on the first trip for this video.
Right, I heard that.
It was last day of like a 10-day trip, so it was cool. We got like 9 great days of skating in. And then on the last one, I was trying to front board this handrail that was a bit too steep. And I was just like just dropping off of it in the ground and landed wrong on like the third one. And then kind of just sat back on my knee. I didn't tear my ACL, but I partially tore it. I like yanked it so hard that it like pulled up from the bone.
Okay.
So we didn't know what happened at first and it was just like hurting and annoying, and then Frank basically was like, okay, we're gonna get you to a hospital, like whatever you need, blah, blah, blah. And then we're driving back. I'm like, it doesn't feel that bad. Let's just go to the hotel, chill, ice it. I had these funny little crutches actually, and then I was like, I want to go to the Empire State Building. I'm pretty sure Frank was just like, I don't know, like felt so bad because I was just so bummed out about my knee, and he's like, whatever you want to do, whatever the group wants to do. So we like went to the top of the Empire State. I'm like on these like those like elbow crutches, like the ones that look like really crippled. Uh-huh. And the whole time people are laughing at me because it just looks so funny. But yeah, we went to the top of the Empire State Building, which is really sick. And then we like saw the lights from Times Square. This is like the last night of the trip or something. And then it was like, I want to go to Times Square. So we like went back down, went to Times Square, and I like got a photo with the crutches up in Times Square. And then flew home the next day, was like immediately into physio because my parents are like big sport heads, and they, as soon as they heard about it, they're like, you gotta get set better, you're like, you have to do physio and all this stuff. And then so I had a bunch of really generous people help me out with physio and that kind of stuff, and like I had a really cool couple cool doctors who were like helping me get back, and like they did some tests, MRIs, they're like, okay, it's not completely torn, but there's a chance that you can like heal it without surgery if you do like a ton of physio for like 4 months. So I just was off my board for like 4 months while people were like filming for this video and stuff. So that was really hard because it was summer, I just moved to Vancouver, I just tore my knee, I'm like in a brace, my friends are going on these
trips. You're living with the filmer.
Yeah, I'm like seeing it all, I'm like, oh, sick. Yeah, like how's it going, like, oh. Fuck. But then as I started to be like a little more mobile, Frank brought me to Miami, so like I started to come back on the trips like as like a second angle or like just to like hang out with people, like I was still included, which is really cool. So that helped with like staying positive with, okay, like as Fabby's question was.
Yeah,
so I still felt like I was really included in the group, which is cool. And I'm a filmer myself, I just have a VX at home, but
rad.
I could be out filming my friends and stay in the scene and like keep up with what's going on and not be like skating. And so that helped stay positive. And then also just like that housing setup, like being surrounded by my friends in a time like that, like they really, really helped. I had, for my birthday, which was in June, knee was dust. Michelle, like Rosie, Norma, Shari, like all these people, like behind my back going, they knew I'd wanted to like renovate the garden at our house. It's kind of gnarly. So they all went and they came back and surprised me with like this truckload of dirt and like flowers. And like they were all in their grubby clothes and we're like, okay, we're just going to work on the garden like all day. And we just had like this sick sunny day. I wasn't really doing any work. We just like had drinks and we were like smoking weed and we were working on the garden and like taking out bushes in the back. And like when you work with 8 people on a yard, it goes pretty quick. I don't know. It was a really wonderful day. I think when I came home from my initial knee injury, like in New York, Brianna and Romy had like filled my room with like smiley face balloons.
Oh.
Like that kind of shit. Like, yeah. You come home to that, you can't really be that bummed out. I was like, well, actually I was a little bummed out because I couldn't move around very easily because of like my knee and all the balloons. But like, I was like, oh, that thought's nice.
Rad.
Yeah.
What were you doing? Were you in the pools with your legs or like bikes or what kind of physio were you doing?
Yeah, a lot of bikes, but the physio I was working with, he wasn't a skateboard physio, but he was like a sports physio. So he's really smart. And then he was like, watch my skate videos and be like, okay, let's figure out what you have to be able to do to skate again and like make up exercises to do that. Whoa. So like each week I came in, he'd have like a new thing for me to do. And it was sick. I could just push me farther each time. By the end of it, they kept fun stuff too. Like that's another reason I could stay positive. I was on a balance board. And then, like, there was, like, two physios, a physio and a kinesiologist on either side of me, and they were, like, throwing tennis balls at me, so I had to, like, dodge them and, like, work on my balance, but stuff like that. So it was fun as well as working out. So I think that helped. I remember Frank telling me about when Ronnie blew his knee and how fast he got back into
that
it.
That was so gnarly.
Yeah, he's like, well, it was fucked. Ronnie's a machine. If he, like, puts himself into physio the same way he does skating, like, he'll be better quick, and he was. And I was like, okay, inspo, so... Ronnie did it and came back like so strong. And, like that was way gnarlier too.
Yeah, Ronnie's the homie. So how long have you been kind of back?
I mean, it's different day by day. Like sometimes I'll wake up and it's really sore and sometimes I'll wake up and like forget about it.
Well, when did you start skating again?
I'm trying to remember exactly. So I tore it in May. I probably November, October.
Okay.
Ish. Like I had the whole summer off and most of the fall like I wasn't skating.
Okay.
And then I started to get back into it. I wore one of those plastic braces under my pants for 2.5, almost 3 months. Like a lot of the clips I filmed for this video, I'm wearing that under the pants.
Okay.
And then I like weaned myself off it and wear this little like sleeve thing, but just try to like continue the physio. And I've been really lucky. Like it's been really strong. Hasn't done anything weird on me, which is cool.
You've gone on some trips. Where's one of your favorite places you've been?
Oh, it's hard to say because we've been to some really cool spots. I really liked New York, to be honest. Like that first trip was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was great.
Because of the city, or did you skate some good stuff or everything or what?
A lot of reasons. I mean, like the spots we skated were fun. The people we met were really cool. Like half the time we were skating with like Kyoto. He skates for Frog and he was just like showing us to these like cool spots. And then yeah, we were with like Beatrice too, like people who know the city. I don't know. Barcelona was amazing too.
Oh yeah,
that was really great.
Right.
So I mean, there's been like a bunch of really cool ones. Even just like Vancouver when I'm home in the summer is like, I really like skating there, like with my friends and stuff too.
What are some of the songs on constant play in the van that get you hyped? Like, is there any songs you guys have in loop that you're like, put that one on, let's get it going?
There's definitely, I mean, there's like the Talking Heads one, This Must Be the Place.
Oh.
That one, like, as soon as, like, comes on, it's just like, it's like, oh, yeah. Like, I think Brianna kind of, it's usually, like, Brianna's music that gets people hyped. Or, like, Fabi. Fabi puts on this song that's, like, I don't even know what it's, I don't know what it's called, but it's, like, just, like, screaming. And it's like, no, and then it's like, this boat is fucking sinking or something.
This boat is obviously sinking!
Yeah. So, like, that'll come on, and we're like, oh.
Rad.
Yeah, so like we also all loved like Dolly Parton, so like if that comes on we're all like jamming to that too. Like, it's pretty wide variety.
Rad.
My heart is slowly drying up.
The rumor has it that you're a pretty good skier.
Who's telling you this?
I read it somewhere. I think it was in the Vancouver Daily News.
Oh, yeah, true.
There was like a front page of you doing a backflip, triple Indy Gator or some shit.
Yeah, I've been skiing longer than I've been skating. That's one, like, a really big benefit of growing up in Canada is you have access to that.
Where do you go, Whistler?
Well, there's a mountain on the island where I grew up, so we'd go there. My family was, like, really cool with all that. We'd try to go up like every second weekend or something when I was little, and then I did both. I snowboarded and skied, but I just liked skiing because I was better at it. And then recently I've been snowboarding again because I have a lot of Vans snowboard friends now, and like they like hooked me up with some gear. Like, it's so fun now that I've been skating. But before I was skating again, that's like my brother. Like, he was a really impressive like skier and snowboarder, so if he tried something I was like, I'm gonna try it. Mm-hmm. So as soon as he was like trying backflips and stuff, I was like, all right, I'm trying it too.
Damn.
So yeah, it's basically just like his influence. I had one other friend that was kind of sent it. Like, skiing is just sick. You get a lot of feeling that you don't get in skating, like doing a trick into powder where it's soft. Like, you can just like land however.
Yeah, the thing with skis that troubles me is the two different snowboarding. You're on one plank, mm-hmm. but like the skis, you could just cross over. It seems like gets so wrecked.
Yeah. Yep.
I think I've skied 3 times in my life, and then I snowboarded from then on.
Yeah, I like the snowboarding now too, but I don't know. I think it's just because it was what I grew up doing. I don't know. I hit rails and stuff on my skis, and don't find it like I find it less sketchy than doing it on a snowboard.
Whoa!
Snowboarding, you can always like catch edges, and I'm always like have the fear of that. And like that's skiing, true. Let's say you get stuck on a flat run, you just pop them off, keep walking, and then you see all the snowboarders, and you're like, that sucks. Yeah, or you could just like pull past them, and you're like, ha, it's fucking snowboarding.
Yeah. Who's been hooking you up? You've been getting boards from Crooked?
Yeah, that's fairly recently, but yeah, Jim Thibault and Bram and all the super cool guys at Deluxe. Yeah, they've been like hooking up with stuff. I got Crooked, and then I kind of got like Thunder and Spitfire around the same time, which was really cool because it was like right when I was getting back into skating. Some of my friends like ride for those companies, or like we'd go and visit Deluxe and like be around the same scene, or like I don't know, there was like a Bay Jam that happened and we were in Oakland and SF and just like hanging around. I think I met Jim in Sweden at the Pushing Borders event. There was like a conference there, so it's like this like Malmo. Yeah, the Malmo street contest and the panel thing. And he was there, and I was like, oh, this guy's like the only people that were there were people who were like very like forward, like thinking like in the future, like how are we gonna like make skateboarding like accessible and like education, like all these really interesting, like super smart people. I was like, where am I? But Jim was there, so I was like, oh, this guy's super cool. And then we just kind of kept talking, and he's been really supportive of everything, which is really cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. True or false, you got sponsored for fingerboarding?
I don't know if I can answer that, because I got some stuff from my friends who like skate or like own fingerboard companies. Like, they like hooked it up, or like an Instagram company would be like, yo, do you want to ride our boards? I was like, yeah.
Do you got some moves?
Yeah, I mean, I can do some stuff. I don't want to like, I'm not that great at it. I just worked at a skate shop for a long time. As you know, some days are pretty slow at skate shops, especially on an island in Canada. So I think my boyfriend at the time like welded me this flat bar for Christmas like 3 years ago. And I took it to the skate shop, and like my friends still use it, like all, like it's still being used at skate shop like today. Anytime a customer wasn't in there, like you'd just be trying tricks, and then like even if they were in there, customers were like psyched on it. Right. Oh, or like the kids were like, can I try?
So yeah.
Like, oh, this is cool. Like, I can do this. I wasn't doing it at home
it's
that
just
much.
Boredom.
Yeah, it was literally like, okay, shop's like clean. Like, what can I do?
He was like, da, 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 da.
Yeah, it was literally like just that movement for like 3 hours in a day. And then my boss would walk by and like look through the window, and then he's like, and then he'd come try it. I was like, shit. Yeah. So it was really chill.
Let's take a quick time out and hear from some of our friends, and we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Who is Chris Cook?
Oh, you want to know who Chris Cook is, Caden? He's one of the best, sickest rippers out of P-Town. You ever heard of Devil's Pit, bro?
No, he shits his pants.
He might, dude. We're getting old now. But anyways, dude, he rips, bro. Devil's Pit. Every demo, just killing it. To this day, I think you gave me props at Rockaway a couple weeks ago. I was in my zone, and I'm sorry, Chris. Thank you for the props. Me and Caden love you.
I think we got another phone call here. Who is this?
My name's Clara, and I was wondering, what's your favorite part about going on these trips?
Woo!
Thank you, Clara, for the question. By far my favorite part is just the people that are on it. It's like a super cool group of people, like all the women skating on it, Shari, Norma, Frank, like Sierra involved with it. Meeting everyone through this whole experience is like probably my favorite part, just being able to hang out with them and like visit cities that I didn't really think I would that way. Like travel the world with my friends, like what? It's so sick.
Yeah, it seems like you've already got to see a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. You've been traveling a bunch.
Yeah, it's been like living on fast forward for a while. So, and then I got hurt and it was like nothing. And then I got like, I'm getting better and it's like, boom, it's all happening again. So,
and you can never get too much time with Frank, right?
No, never.
He's the best.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely like added a lot of good stuff to these trips. And like,
did he take you to get a slice in New York?
Yeah, we got, yeah.
Yeah.
We also went to some really good, what was that spot we kept going back to? The meatball spot? Yeah, meatball shop. That was sick. We had, yeah, it was cool being in New York with people from New York, like with Beatrice and Frank.
Always the best.
Kyoto and stuff, like they would just actually be like, oh, this is what it used to be like, or this is what was filmed here, or like this is where this person grew up, or like skated. It was like, oh.
I just love going to the right food spots, like, because there's so much shit there. Like, if you don't know, you're lost. But if you're with the right people and they're like, oh, no, this is where we need to get the slice, or this is where the sandwich is, or this, you know, that's always good. Any town you're at, to have a little direction with the food's always good. Mm-hmm. And then the spots, too, for sure. Like, oh, you think this is good? Well, around the corner is a fucking bump to rail nobody knows about or something.
Yeah, like, it was whatever. Like that when we went to Melbourne, like when we went to Australia recently, it was like that too. Like we met up with the Vans TM Zools and like Adelaide, who skates for Vans. She's someone who I forgot to mention before, who's got banger tricks in this video.
Cool.
And she had a lot of like, oh, like this is where we go to get food, this is where we go to chill, here's where we can go to warm up, like just like. And then we made like a joke about her being like the fastest skater, because we'd move from the spot or like go to get dinner and she'd just be like gone, like just like pushing like two like blocks ahead of everyone else, and you're like, what the fuck, like calm down. Wow. But yeah, she was like really on it. So yeah, that like local intel is so sick.
Damn, you got to go to Oz?
Yeah.
Australia, Indonesia.
Yeah, Barcelona, New York.
The passport's filling
LA,
up.
LA, San Francisco. I'm still missing places, I know. Miami, yep.
How are you with traveling? Like, when you're in the plane, how are you with these long-distance flights? Do you sleep? Can you sleep on planes?
I used to be worse at it, but I'm getting better. Like, I used to get, like nauseous and stuff, and then I couldn't really chill. But now I'm, like, getting better at it. I'm actually, like, dating someone in Australia, so I'm, like, getting used to the plane ride there.
Oh, so you've been to Australia a few times?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I went there for like a month and then came back, and then we went for the trip for like And then I stayed there for a while.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Damn. You got hurt doing a front board on a handrail?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done a front board on a handrail since you came back?
I have now, yes.
Was it a head fuck for a little bit? Or?
Yeah, I like was trying to do them at parks for a while. Like when we go to a park, I was like, I'll try front board. But I'd still kind of just see like worst case scenario in my head.
Uh-huh.
And like what happened before. And so when I was like on a street rail, it was just kind of like, oh, like what can I do to not make that happen again? And then there was this little rail in Melbourne that we went to, and it was like, it looked so perfect. It was like, oh, like it's short and it's low and it's perfect run up and landing. And then I like went to jump on it. I was like, holy shit, it's way too short. Like it's like one of the ones where you like get on, it's like, ding, and like,
right.
So it was actually harder than if it was like a little bigger. So I was stoked. It was still like a proper front board on a handrail since that injury. And when I like finally rode away from it, I was very stoked.
Rad.
So that was like a big weight off my, I don't know. It just felt like, I was like, oh, okay, I can move forward again. Like I felt like I was kind of spent that whole 6 or 7 months like trying to get back to where I was, which was there. And now I can like progress.
Okay. Is there anything that you're really wanting to get done before the deadline? Is there anything in your head, or are you just trying to get as much good stuff as you can? Any specific things?
Yeah, there was definitely a few things. I wanted to hit a handrail in it.
Uh-huh.
I've done that, but I'm not, like, as I said, I'm not like satisfied. Like, it's just more like, okay, what's next? So we might have some time, and like it's raining here now, so we're done and we're flying home tomorrow. But if there's like an opportunity in Vancouver, I'm gonna try to get a couple maybe hammers before the deadline.
Where'd you guys skate while you were here?
We went to a couple spots. We spent like time down by the ferry, the ferries and the EMD.
Island.
Yeah. But then we also went up the street from that a bit. We went to Union Square. We went like out Fort Funston, which is like out, like we did some like little missions like that.
Uh-huh.
We were skating with Cher. So like this trip, we were like linking up with Cher a lot, and Beatrice was here.
Oh.
And we were like just like vibing around those spots. We went to like the mani pad things after, like Rock Ridge Mani Pad in Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
After
fun.
A day of filming, just like hang out.
Yeah, slobbies.
Cher kept mentioning like Alameda and stuff like that. And yeah, I don't know. It was fun. I really like skating in SF. I feel like I haven't had enough time here
yet, yeah.
So I want to come back.
Did you guys go by the Supreme store?
We didn't actually, no.
Okay.
But we heard all about it from Cher. Yeah, she was giving us the inside scoop.
Yeah, she worked there, but they got a bowl in there. It's kind of crazy. Like in the middle of downtown San Francisco, there's this huge warehouse with an indoor bowl.
Sick.
It's like, damn, okay. Do you know who's all going to be in the video?
Yeah, I mean,
it's you.
There's like me, Brianna, and Fabi kind of with more like parts, but then there's Clara, Solar, Helena Long. Oh my gosh, I don't want to forget anyone. Poppy Star is doing a bunch of animations for it, and she has footage in it too.
Oh, cool. It's going to be
all
girls?
I'm pretty sure Shari has a clip. Yeah, all girls.
We're going to have any Lizzie footage?
I think we were like trying to link up, but I'm not sure if it worked out. Beatrice, obviously, Cher.
Oh, right. And that should come out in April, you say, or?
Yeah, it's supposed to come out in April. I think we filmed with everyone we went on trips with. So the people who came to Barcelona, the people who were in SF, like whoever lived there too. Like I think Diana might have, like, it was like our van's like community that we went and visited as well. So
nice. Let's end with the coronavirus. What do we think?
I think, I don't know. I saw this thing today where, like, you know, in the Shaun of the Dead, they're like, we're going to go get a drink and wait till it blows over.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to like go home, go and like chill out and wait for it to blow over. And then, I don't know. I hope it doesn't like mess with the world anymore. It's been a lot of like cancellations and travel things. So hopefully it's a phase. I don't know.
Are you doing anything like washing your hands more frequently? Trying not to, are you practicing social distancing?
Is that what they, yeah, that's what they're calling it.
Like instead of high five, you go elbows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did that at Deluxe the other day. Bram came to me, he's like, yo, elbows. I was like, what?
Yeah.
There's been more hand sanitizer passed around this trip than any of them, for sure. Even when we went to like, we did this Vans Europe trip to like Indonesia. We went to like Jakarta, which is like one of the most polluted cities in the world. But it's also really beautiful and there's really cool skating. But like the TM there, Josh Young, he was like, I was trying a trick and he was like literally spraying me off with like hand sanitizer in between the tries because we were trying it in like a sewer. This is like the second gnarliest to that, which is like pretty extreme.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like it's just playing it safe and like planes and stuff.
They keep saying that when the weather changes, it might help diminish everything, but people are they're skeptical. They're like, we don't know, but that's usually with viruses, that's what happens. But this is a new one and we're not sure, but it's wishful thinking at this point. But think of a song that we can end the conversation on.
Can we end it on the Talking Heads song?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Which one is it?
This Must Be the Place.
All right, let's do that. Thank you so much for taking time out to stop by and catching up. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
Yeah, well, can't wait to see the video part, and hopefully see you next time you're in San Francisco. I'm sure our paths will cross sooner than later.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
All right, cheers.
Sweet, have a good one.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa. This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.